Okay, so today I will talk about distributed interactive system, and especially the technical aspect of of a distributed interactive system. So the idea is to give you some idea or some technical aspect about this distributed interactive system, especially because these requirements are usually redundant between all CSCW applications. So how is the network architecture, how the data are distributed between all the different instances of one application, and how the concurrency management is done. So yeah, I take an example on collaborative virtual environment because I think it's a good example because it has strong requirements because the user has to interact in real time. So if the data distribution is not good, they cannot interact in real time. So it's a good example for that. And also because immersion requires a fast multisensorial feedback. So the system has still to have a good responsiveness even if it's a distributed application. Okay, let's go. I'm just starting. Oh, you can take the slide. I was saying that today we'll talk mainly about technical aspect of a distributed interactive system, mainly because these requirements are redundant for all CSCW applications. Okay. Most of the students are there, so we don't need more. So yeah, we'll talk about these requirements that are redundant between all CSCW applications. So how is the network architecture? How the data are distributed between all the different instances of one distributed application? And how the concurrency management is done between all the different instances of the same application? So I take an example on collaborative virtual environment because I think it's a good example, especially because it has strong requirement because the user has to interact in real time. So if the data distribution, for example, is not good, they cannot interact in real time. And also because immersion requires fast multisensorial feedback. I think you saw that between the virtual reality class. So it need to be the SysNet need to have a good responsiveness. And also because it has strong requirements, a lot of solutions has been proposed to overcome the technical issue. So there is a lot of stuff done already on collaborative virtual environment about distribution. So we saw last time that collaborative virtual environment so enable a user to work or to have fun together in the same virtual world. And there is two kinds of collaboration in virtual environment. So the first one is co-located collaboration, and the second one is remote collaboration. So co-located, all the users are in the same system, and remote collaboration is collaboration across the network through various devices. So we will focus today on remote collaboration and how the data are distributed between all the different locations that are involved in the same simulation or session. We saw last time that there is several aspects of collaboration. So one is awareness, communication, and collaborative interaction. And so all the technical choice that we made will have to fit these three kind of category and enable all this the stuff we saw last week. So in a collaborative virtual environment, the user need to share the same virtual object. So what is a virtual object? It can be the 3D objects that are in the world, so for example a tree in my virtual world, or something like that. So each object have a shape, a texture, a color, a position, and so on. It can be also some 3D widgets, so some 3D objects that can be used for by user for interaction. So like, I don't know, some button, some slider, or some stuff in the virtual world. And this apply also to all the 2D interfaces or things like that. And some other example of some shared virtual object, it can be annotation. I can put some annotation for the other user. And also all the interaction tools. So if I am using a virtual ray in this virtual world to show something to the other user, it has to be well synchronized, you understand? Otherwise, if I move it and it moves 2 minutes after on the remote side, it doesn't make sense to use it. So that's why it needs to be well synchronized. And the user, of course, also need to interact in real time. So they need to share the object, and also they need to interact in real time. So we don't want that they make an action, and 2 minutes after they had a feedback from the system. They really want to interact in real time. So yeah, I think I will talk mainly about remote collaboration, because we can come back to this figure where we have a distributed virtual environment, so which means that each user is running his own version of the virtual environment, and all the version of the virtual environment has to be synchronized through the network. And so today we will see how the data are distributed. So here, if we look the figure, we have the feeling that the data are on each node. So I will call node one part of the application, so the part which is on the user side. So this is one node here. So we have the feeling that here all the data are on each node, but we will see that it can be different. We have several ways to do it. So how to distribute the data and how to synchronize the data in between all this node. So the collaborative requirement. So for an efficient collaboration between users, they need to have the same state of the virtual environment. So at the same time, so the same state for each virtual object at the same time. So in other words, they want to see the same thing at the same time. Otherwise, it's of course hard to collaborate. So we call that the consistency of the virtual environment. So is it a consistent virtual environment or not? And they also, what I was saying, need to modify the virtual object in real time. So we call that the responsiveness of the system, or it can be also called reactivity. It depends. So we will focus mainly on consistency and responsiveness. So I start first with consistency. So consistency, we can see a distributed virtual environment, or even any distributed interactive system, like a distributed database of virtual object, or it depends on the application. A distributed database of virtual objects which user modify in real time. So it can be seen like that. And managing the consistency means to ensure that the database is the same for all users. And inconsistency of this database can be due to concurrent modification. So two users are modifying the same object at the same time. And also a delay to transmit the modification of the network. So if I'm doing a modification, the time delay that this modification arrive on the other side where my colleague is working can introduce an inconsistency between the state of my virtual environment and the state of the remote user virtual environment. This is for consistency. And now for responsiveness of the system, it's the time required by the system to respond to the user action. So we saw last time that we have this action perception loop. And so the responsiveness is the time that this action perception loop occurs. And so we call latency during user interaction this responsive. It's the, yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, the responsiveness of the system is the time required by the user to respond, and we can also simply call that the latency of the system. And I think I put some value here. Say, yeah. So between usually we say that for kind of real time interaction, the latency has to be between 40 milliseconds and 300 milliseconds. So 300 is really a maximum. It will start to feel that it's. I think we really start to feel the latency at 40 milliseconds, and after 300, it's almost unusable. So that's why usually we consider that 100 milliseconds is good, and we try to reach usually this target. So the latency of the system has to be around 100 milliseconds, and something that is also we have also to consider is the jitter. So if some of you know what is the jitter of the system. So if the jitter in fact is the variance of the latency. So if the latency is constant or not, and it can make a big difference between, because even if I have 300 milliseconds of latency and it's always the same, the user can adapt to this latency. And can they can predict a bit that the system they will do the action and the system will move slightly just after the action, and they can overcome that. And if they get used to it, they can still interact. It can be okay if the latency is constant. But if the latency has a lot of variation, then it starts really hard to interact because you do something and you don't know if it appeals in 300 milliseconds or just now, and it's really terrible. So the jitter is really the worst thing, and we try really to avoid a jitter. Even if we have a few latency, it's okay, but we really try to avoid a jitter. And yeah, this latency can be due to the time required to process and send user action. So I have first to process the user action and then transmit it, send it to all the other users. And there we have to transmit also this action on the network, so it induces some network delay, of course, and also to give the feedback to users. So once we have received a notification from the network, we have to compute it locally and send it to the user. So these three steps can induce latency, and we can have latency at these three steps. So it can be the processing time on the computer, it can be the network delay, and it can be the processing time on the other side of the computer on the other side. So in distributed virtual environment, but also in it depends of the application, but also in most of the interactive system, we have to find a good trade-off between consistency and responsiveness, because usually they are they are a bit contradictory. So if we have a really good consistency, it can induce some latency in the system. And on the contrary, if we have a system with a good responsiveness, it can introduce some inconsistency. So we have to find always a trade-off between consistency and responsiveness. And we have to make this trade-off consistent with the task of what the user are doing in the interactive system or to the application. So some application need really good consistency. So if it's a cursor between consistency and responsiveness, we will put the cursor more on the consistency part. If it's a time that require a really good responsiveness, we can put the cursor on the responsiveness part. So it really depends on the application. So the technical requirements that have an impact of this trade-off are how to connect the remote computer, of course, so the network part, how to distribute the data on this computer, so where the data are processed on this computer, how to share the information between this computer, and finally, how to manage concurrent access to this data. So I think we will go over these four steps. And so each technical choice must consider both consistency and responsiveness, because all these things have an impact of consistency and responsiveness. So the outline of the class today will be, first we will talk about network architecture, then data distribution. I will go quickly over some communication protocol, but there is a lot of communication protocols. I will not detail all the communication protocol today. and some mechanism to manage consistency, to reduce the communication between the computers. And also we'll talk a bit at the end about software architecture. So how to implement the thing we will see before. So I start first with network architecture. So first, there is several ways to transmission method between computers. And this has an impact of the on the network architecture. So you probably know some of them because we can use unicast. So unicast means that one computer is sending to another computer. So it just goes through the network, but it's a direct connection between these two computers. So this is unicast communication. We can also have a broadcast, so which means that one computer is sending to everyone. So it just sends on the network, and all the other computers on the network will receive what he has sent. And the last one is a multicast, so which means that one computer can send to just a group of other computers. So for example, this one's a choice to send to these two, but not to this one. So we can specify to which computer he is able to send the messages. So it has an impact on the network application. So the first of the network architecture, sorry. So the first network architecture is, you probably know, heard about it, the peer-to-peer architecture. So which means that all the computers are connected together one by one, usually by unicast unicast transmission method. So you see, for example, that this computer is connected to the five other computers. And it's the same for all the computers. So the good point of that is that it enables fast communication between pair of nodes. So if this computer wants to send to this one, it directly have a direct link to send the data to this other computer. So we can enable closely coupled interaction between a few users. So it's the advantages of this network architecture. But the drawback is that can imply difficulties to contact all the nodes at the same time. So if I want to contact all the nodes at the same time, I have to send messages to everyone. And of course, then many messages are transmitted over the network because we have to send messages to all the other computers. So the second network architecture, you probably know also about it, it's the client-server architecture. So which means that we have on the middle one server, and all the computers are connected to this particular server. So the good point of the advantage of this network architecture is that all the communication pass through the server. So yeah, it can have one drawback, which is it induces latency, because if I want to contact this computer, want to contact this one, it has to first send something to the server, and the server has to transmit to this computer. So of course, it induces latency in the system. The good thing is it can enable to contact quickly all the nodes. So if this computer wants to contact all the other ones, it don't have to send a message to all the other computers. It can just transmit a message to the server, and the server can forward this message to all the other computers. So it's good for consistency and synchronization between computers. And then consistency and synchronization are easy to ensure because the server can keep a state, for example, of the virtual environment and manage the consistency between all the other computers. And the last drawback, it can what we call a bottleneck can occur on the server. So if we have thousands of computers connected on the same server, of course, it's not really efficient. So this is the main two first architectures, so the peer-to-peer architecture and the client-server architecture. And then we can have some hybrid architecture. So this is an example here where we have several servers connected with a peer-to-peer connection. So for here we have three servers and they are connected with peer-to-peer connection between these four servers. And then each computer can be connected to one particular server. So the goal of this architecture is to avoid the bottleneck on one single server, because then we can connect a lot of more computers. It can also be used to connect a node with different requirements. So for example, sometimes you want to have several kind of connections. So these two computers can be connected to this server through TCP connection. But this one, these three computers want to have a HTTP connection. So you can use this server to connect the computer with TCP connection, this one to connect the other with HTTP connection. And it doesn't have an impact on the application, because then the server can communicate together. And the problem, of course, that it also increases the latency of the system, because when you want to send a message, if, for example, this computer wants to send a message to this one, it has to go to the first server, which sends it to the second server, which sends it to the computer. So you understand that, of course, each time you have one more link, it increases the latency of the system. A second example of hybrid architecture is an architecture which is a client-server architecture, like this one. But you can also establish a temporary peer-to-peer connection between some computer. So we see that, for example, here, we have established peer-to-peer connection between these two computers, and also this group of three computers has also a temporary peer-to-peer connection. So for example, it can be used to increase the consistency, for example, of the collaborative virtual environment between a nearby user in a virtual environment. So if we want to have really good synchronization between these two computers, we can just establish a link, a peer-to-peer connection between these two computers, and then increase the consistency between these two computers. And yeah, you can have several ways to do that, but one solution can be to establish this peer-to-peer connection according to the location of the user in the virtual environment. So if you have a really, really broad virtual environment, and you can establish between nearby users, so the one that are in the same room, for example, can have a peer-to-peer connection between them to have a good synchronization. But the ones that are in another room don't need a good synchronization, but then you can establish a peer-to-peer connection only between the users that are in another room. Okay, so that's it for network architecture. Do you have any question about network architecture? So each time I put the references, and I just noticed yesterday evening that I forgot to give you a list of papers, but I will do it next week. So I will give you a list with you will be able to find the relationship between this thing that is a link to a paper with the list of the, and I will give you the list of the paper next week. So I will switch now to data distribution. So what is a virtual object? So you probably know what is a virtual object, but if we want to describe a virtual object in terms of data distribution, usually a virtual object is in fact a set of parameters. So some just what we call data. So usually it has an identifier to define this particular object. It has some attributes, so the position, the orientation, the color, and a lot of things. It can also have some access right, so which user can access to this object. And sometimes it can have also a geometry and eventually some texture. So this is the case for a virtual object. We can find a similar thing for other interactive systems. So you can have object with usually need to have an identifier to identify the object. You have always some attribute. You can also have access rights, even if it's not a virtual object, but just a 2D object, for example, in a collaborative application. So it has a set of parameters. So this is what we call data. And it also have a behavior. So there is two kind of behavior. So the first one is only reactive, so it just responds to user action. So the user, for example, just move a slider, so it responds to the user action. So this is the first kind of behavior. And the second one is a continuous behavior, so a behavior that evolves in time. So it can be any animation or thing that is independent from the user. So this one is in response to the user action, and this one evolves in time. And we can find exactly the same thing in the 2D application, where we have slider buttons that just respond to the user action. And you can also have continuous behavior. So in some of 2D interfaces, you have some animation, for example. So this animation are continuous behavior that evolve alone in time without any action of the user. So we have to. So this virtual object has these two things: the data and the behavior. So we have to think which computer stores the data. So is it all the computers that store the data, or just one computer that store its data? And we are also to think which computer execute its behavior, because yeah, it depends. But so usually it's the same computer that stores the data and execute the behavior. But it can be a bit tricky, and especially as soon as you start to have a lot of computer, it can be quite complicated. A lot of computer and also a lot of object, because if you need to execute the behavior of all the object of a virtual world, it can also be a bit painful for your computer. So there is also usually three ways of distribute the data. So the first one is the centralized data distribution. So usually it's based on a server. So we for doing this centralized data distribution, we need a server. So in this case, all the data are stored here on the server. So that's why it's red here, and here there is no data. And the behavior is also executed on the server. So the server executes the behavior of the object, and also send then. So if it first executes the behavior, and it has to send update to all the other, I will call it client here because it's client server architecture, but to all the other nodes. And each time I execute one step of the simulation on the server, I have to send update to the other. To all the computers that are in this simulation or session. And when the user wants to make a modification on one particular object, it's what we do, for example, just when we browse the internet. The user asks for the modification, it sends a request to the server, so just for asking for modification. The server computes the modification and send back update to the computer of the user who has asked for the modification, but also to all the other computers. So the advantages of this data distribution that it ensures easily global consistency, because there is just one version of the object on the server. So of course it's good for consistency, because you cannot have a several state of the same object. It's also good because it avoids data replication. You have only the data on one computer, and you don't have data on all the computers. And it also avoids processing the behavior on each client. So you don't need a really powerful computer here, because they don't need to execute the behavior of the object. They just have to receive the update messages. So of course, we don't have a lot of processing on the client, because all the processing are done on the server. So this is for the advantages. And for the drawbacks, of course, it introduces a latency during interaction, because all the modifications have to go through the server. So of course, because there is this request and response, it introduces a latency during interaction. And also, many messages are transmitted over the network. Just for example, for the behavior execution, so at each simulation step, it has to send messages to all the computers. So, for example, if the simulation runs at 60, for example, 60 FPS at 60, it has to send messages at 60 FPS to update all the clients. So, in a case of a collaborative virtual environment, it can be a bit painful because you have a lot of messages over the network. So the second way of distributing the data, it's the contrary. It's what we call replicated data distribution. So the data in this case are replicated on each node. So each node is kind of client-server because it can store it stores its own data. And the behavior is also executed locally on each node. So each computer executes the behavior of the object. And of course, you can, I think, easily understand that some desynchronization and some inconsistency can occur between the computer, because one computer can execute the behavior maybe a bit faster than another one, or one is just slowed down by something and lost the synchronization. So in this case, we usually have to ensure the synchronization between all these computers to check that everybody is executing the behavior of the object at the same time. Otherwise, we will get some really different state of the virtual environment on each computer. And now for user modification, if one user wants to do a modification, the modification can simply be processed locally. So the computer of the user computes the modification, and it just has to send update to the other computers. So the advantages of this data replication, it's when the user want to do a modification, there is low latency interaction, because the modification is processed locally, so it's pretty fast. And there is also few messages that are transmitted over the network, because there is only the update messages when user do modification. And for normal behavior execution, there is no message transmission, and maybe just a few synchronization messages. But we don't need to send a message at each stimulation step. The drawbacks is, of course, the data replication. So we have to replicate the data on all the computer, which is a bit bad, especially if we have huge amount of data. The behavior processes on each node, so it's a bit kind of lost of computation power, because all the computer process the same thing at the same time. It can easily have also some inconsistency due to the transmission delay of the update messages. So here, if the modification is processed locally, and then the other has to wait a bit for the update, because there is some delay in this update transmission, there can be have an inconsistency between this computer and this computer because of the network delay. And of course, we also need additional mechanism to manage concurrent access, because the modification are processes locally, so which means that two users can do a modification on the same object on their computer and then send update. But then we discover this problem only when we receive the update from another user. So we have to add some additional mechanism to manage this concurrent access to the same object. And so we just saw that we have a centralized data distribution, and this one is replicated data distribution. So it's the two main kind of data distribution. But here also we can have some hybrid data distribution. So I will give you just two examples. So the first one is one where it's kind of replicated data distribution, but we don't replicate all the objects of the virtual world. So what I was saying, especially if it's a very broad virtual world with a lot of objects, we don't want to copy all the virtual objects on our computer. So we just have only the necessary object replicated on each computer. And usually in this case, a server saves the whole state of the virtual environment. So we have here a a server somewhere on the network that have the full state of the virtual environment, but all the computers just have the necessary object. So the advantage is, of course, it reduces the data replication because you have just the objects that are necessary for you. And there is also, of course, less processing on each node because you don't have to process all the objects. The drawbacks are that it's even more difficult to ensure the consistency and to manage the concurrency access because you don't, it depends on the architecture, but usually you don't really know which computer owns which object, so it can be a bit hard to manage the consistency. So if you have an object is modified, you don't know if you have to send this modification to all the computers, just to a few computers. So usually what the system do is send the modification to all the computers, and so but then the computer receive a lot of messages that they are not concerned by. So it's a bit of a problem. So of course many messages transmit over the network because you have to do this consistency and also to transmit the modification to everyone. And the last thing is that you will have to dynamically download additional objects sometimes because you don't have all the objects. So if you move, for example, in the virtual environment and you enter in a new room, you will have to download all the objects in this new room. So of course, you have to download additional objects, and it has also a cost because you need to add up to download the geometry of the object, the parameters, and everything at the same time. So it's a good solution because it avoids to replicate the full virtual environment when it's huge, but it has also some drawbacks. And I think we saw that sometime when you, I don't know if you play games or online game or things like that, you can see sometimes that it takes time to load what's happened in the new room or further away, and it's a bit, can be a bit bothering for the user to have, you see nothing and then stuff appeared one by one, and it's sometimes not really good. So the other example of hybrid data replication is what we call referent proxy paradigm. So the idea is on each node of the virtual, each node for each virtual object is represented by either a referent or a proxy. So a referent is something that store the data, define the behavior of the object, and process the modification request. And a proxy is something that just receive update from the referent and update also the object presentation in the virtual world. So which means that this one is the one kind that stores the data, executes the behavior, and the proxy just receive update messages. So in this way, behavior are executed only on one node. So it's a mix between the replicated architecture and the server, because here we don't have any server. And in fact, one computer takes the position of the server. So this computer here is the one who have the data and execute the behavior of the object, and it send update to all the other computer. So the good thing that it can be done for each particular object. So we can choose which computer own the referent for each particular object, which means that we can distribute the computation cost to all on all the computer, because if we have, for example, three objects, this computer can be the referent for the first object, this one can be the referent for the second object, and this other one can be the referent for the third object.
Meaning that if one of those nodes crash the simulation, we lose some information.
Exactly. So that's it. Yeah, there is also some way to overcome that, but the drawbacks of this thing, it's, yeah, if one crash, you can lost one part of the simulation. But what we can do to avoid that is also to add a server that can also save the state of all the virtual environment. Mm-hmm. And if then one computer crash, we are able to recover from the server. So it's one solution can be used. But yeah, you are right. It's a bad thing. For example, if this one crash, you lost the data on the behavior execution of this object. So this is for data and behavior execution, and for now for request modification, there is two case here. So if the user want to modify the referrer, it's pretty simple and pretty similar to the replicated data distribution. So the user do the modification is compute locally, and then the other computer receives updates. So this is the first case. But the second case is when a user that just have a proxy want to modify the object. Then it's more like in the centralized data distribution, because this user want to do modify the object. So he has to first ask the user who own the reference for the modification. The modification is compute on the computer of the user who has the referent, and then update messages are sent to all the computers on the network. So it's here it's a bit the same than in the centralized data distribution. Then the referent process the request. I wanted to say something, but I forgot what. Let's move to the advantages and drawbacks. The advantage is that it ensures a good global consistency, because we just have one version of the object. So of course, there is a good consistency. It implicitly manages concurrent access, also because we have just one version of the object, so we cannot modify at the same time the same object, or at least it's on the same computer. So maybe one user wants to modify an object locally, and he can also receive update modification requests from the network, but then he can deal with these two things, because the modifications are done only on one computer. Yes?
Who's managing this specific object? For example, there is a concurrency on one specific parameter.
Yes?
Who decides that you have to take that one or that one? This modification.
It depends on the policy, but because it's done on only one computer, you can do a policy and say, for example, I take the local modification instead of the network modification, or maybe I can try to merge these two modifications together. We will see later that we have several.
And then you will push the modification on the network.
On the network, exactly. Yeah. But in the case of you have replicated data distribution, two users can do the modification on the same parameter locally, and then it's pushed on the network, so you have two concurrent modifications on the network. And then there is not a really good way to avoid this concurrency then, because all the computers receive different information and it starts to be a bit messy. So I was here, so it implicitly manages concurrent access. It can also combine the processing power of each node, yeah, because what I was saying, we can have, if we have three objects, we can put the processing on three computers, and then we distribute the processing power on all the nodes. And it can also reduce latency when the user are interacting with the referent, because we don't have a lot of latency because it's local modification. But we will see just after that the drawbacks, when we interact with a proxy, then we have some interaction latency. So the drawbacks are, we transmit many messages over the network, and what I was saying, so it increases latency when we interact with a proxy. But in this case, in this particular case, if we want to get rid of this latency, one solution can be to move the referent of the object. So we can use some migration mechanism to move the referent. So if I interact with an object that I just own the proxy and I want to have a good interaction with this object, I can ask to get the referent of this object, and then I can have a low latency interaction with the object. So it depends. Yeah.
Is it only about like interaction or modifications and power to the object, or also for the rendering of the rewards?
No, for the rendering has to be done locally on each node. But it's for the parameter and behavior execution. For example, if you run some physical simulation, you can do the computation on one particular node, and you don't have to do it here. So, yeah, as a synthesis of the data distribution, we can see that existing data distribution usually make a trade-off between consistency and responsiveness and meet only some particular requirements. So the centralized data distribution has a good consistency, but a bad responsiveness. The replicated data distribution, it's the contrary. It has good responsiveness, but consistency is not really good. And also, something that can be interesting is to combine the advantages of each solution. So it would be good if we can have a solution that dynamically adapts the distribution of each object, depending on the application requirement and the network capability. So for example, if we have a breakdown on the network, it can be good to have the data replication, data distribution, because then everybody can run the simulation at its own computer and don't have to send a lot of messages on the network. But then, so it really depends on the application requirement and the network capability. It can also depend on the tasks that are performed by user. And it depends also on the functions that the objects fulfill in the virtual environment. So if, for example, we have a tree far away in the virtual environment, we don't really need a good consistency, because just, let's say that the leaf of the tree are moving, but we don't want that the movement of the leaf are well synchronized between all the computers, because we don't as soon as we see the tree and with the leaf moving, we don't need that the leaf move exactly on the same way on all the computers. So we can, in this case, have less consistency between all the computers. But if we are interacting, like, for example, I was saying about something about the virtual array at the beginning, so I want to show you something with the virtual array in the virtual environment. This needs to be really well synchronized. So the thing of this trade-off between consistency and responsiveness can be dependent of the function that the object fulfill in the virtual environment.
But for example, if you interact with several users inside a dynamic simulation, like fluid simulation, very small
simulation step, no
atoms, or
okay, yeah.
In that case, we'll have to have exactly the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it really depends on the application. So that's what I was saying. If you have the leaf of the tree, you don't care that you have a good consistency. But if you are looking together the same atom in a physical simulation with a remote colleague, you want to see the same thing at the same time. Exactly. So then in this case, you need to have a good consistency. So that's why it would be good to have a solution that can dynamically adapt the data distribution of each object according to all these requirements. So we have proposed an adaptive data distribution based on a reference proxy paradigm. So this data distribution can implement at the same time the three modes of data distribution, so centralized, replicated, and hybrid. And we'll see later that it can be shown independently for each object. So each, for example, one object can have the centralized data distribution, another one can have the replicated data distribution, and the last one can be in an hybrid data distribution. And it can also change dynamically during a working session from one data distribution to another. So we will make a few exercises on that. About the three modes of data distribution. So we'll try to compute what is the interaction latency and what is the gap in consistency. So we start first with the replicated mode. So for the replicated mode, in fact, it's based on this reference proxy paradigm. So we can, if we want to do the replicated mode, one solution can be to put reference on all nodes. So you see that it means that all nodes will have all the data, and we process all the behavior and modification requests. So which means that we are in the replicated mode, in fact. Because if we put one referent on all the nodes, it's the replicated mode. So we will try to compute what are the interaction latency and the gap in consistency between these two nodes. So for that, we will consider that we have some network latency, because we usually always have network latency. And we will consider that the processing time on each computer is really small compared to the network latency. So it's kind of negligible. Is negligible correct? It's negligible compared to the network delay. So I will start with the first one, and you will do the two other ones. But this one is pretty simple. So a user on this node asks for a modification. So we process the modification locally. So it's this green thing. It's this green. This line is the time, in fact. You will see. So here, this green line is the green box is the time required to process the modification on this particular node. And then we have to send an update on the network. So we have this update that is sent on the network, and node one receives the update and process this update. So just update the rendering, for example. So now, if we want to compute interaction latency and gap inconsistency, we have to look for what is the time required by the system to respond to the user action. So we can just look here. So here it asks for the modification, and the modification is done locally. So the interaction latency is just this processing time here. So I said just before that this processing time is negligible if according to the network delay. So we can just say here that the interaction latency is almost zero. And now if we look what I call gap inconsistency, with what is the state when the two nodes have the same state of the object. So we look here, and we see that this one has the new state just here, but this one has the new state just here. So it should appear. So here, the gap in consistency is one times the network latency. So we can say here that the gap in consistency is one times the network latency. We use this abstract value for network latency because it really depends on the network of the connection. We cannot tell a value, but yeah, it depends. So we have here we can see that the advantage is that we have a good responsiveness because the interaction latency is almost nil. But of course, the gap inconsistency is one times the network latency. So it depends on the network. If you have a really fast network, it can be okay. But if you have a slow network, it can be not okay. So now I let you try to do the centralized mode. So for the centralized mode, we have one. We put only a referent on the server. So we have one server who owns the referent of the object, and all the other nodes have just one proxy. So then when we will compute the gap in consistency, we will look between node 1 and node 2. We don't really care about the gap in consistency between the server. There is no user there. So I let you try to think about that and find what is the interaction latency and what is the gap in inconsistency.
In the centralized mode, you assume that the server the server is broadcasting all of the information at the same time.
Yeah, we can say that. Yeah, even it's broadcasting or sending to all the users, but it depends. I don't know what is the transmission method. It can be broadcast, but it can be also unicast. But if it's unicast, it sends an unicast message to all the machines at the same time.
But so the time between each information, we assume that's zero.
All the messages are sent at the same time.
Okay.
And they receive it also, we can consider that they receive it at the same time also. Mm-hmm.
because it's one time the net we consider. Yeah, it's also an approximation because sometimes the network delay between two computers can be slightly different, but.
Sometimes the view is not well synchronized because it happens. Sometimes you get killed and you don't understand why, just because you get a bullet, but your view was not well synchronized. So, usually they just do the centralized. It depends, the peer-to-peer or the centralized data replication. But yeah, only a few things are well synchronized, and most of the virtual environment is not. Yeah, there is a lot of. Yeah, usually it's clients. I will give you the list of publications. There is a lot of things.
What about the MMORPG? Because you have to have a consistency in your view. For example, you're fighting like a huge dragon,
yeah.
Something like that. You have to know where the dragon is.
Yeah, but I'm not sure it's...
You don't care about the position of the player. Or
yeah.
Maybe if you're doing like something they call PvP, player against player.
Ah, yeah.
And you have to know...
You have to know a bit, yeah. So it depends, but usually it's really a few things that are synchronized.
Something like position, casting time.
Yeah. But only of the player. The full environment sometimes is not really well synchronized. Only. But yeah, all these things come also as deal with all this network architecture from, I don't know if you noticed, but there is a lot of references here even that are, what I put here, you have a lot of different paper here that deal with this. And some of them come from military training, virtual video games and things like that. And you see some are pretty old, so it's replicated, the data distribution start in pretty old now. But the idea was to say that there is not a perfect data distribution, it depends a lot of the applications. So that's why that can be good to have something that you can modulate and.
Something like a dynamic from the dynamic.
Yes, that's why the idea of this one, that to be able to switch between the replication data distribution mode and. I think I will give you an example of that later. So should I correct the centralized mode, or do you want more time? I don't know. That's fine. So what's happened if a user asked for a modification on the proxy? If some of you have an idea. So is just two cases. Is the modification is processed locally, or is the proxy send a modification request to the referent? Yes, so I give a busy answer telling those things. So this one, if you ask for a modification, so you have also a few processing time just to send the messages, but we consider that it's almost null. And so it sends a modification request to the server. Then the server has to process this modification. So we have the processing time of the modification, and then the server has to update all the computer involved in the simulation. So it just sends update messages on the network. So now, if you want to compute the interaction latency, we have to look the time where the user asks for the modification, when the user asks for the modification, and when he gets an answer from the system, which is just there. So we can see that the interaction latency is huge. So it's almost 2 times the network latency, because we have first to send a modification request message, and then wait for the update message. So we can say that it's almost 2 times the interaction latency. And now if we look for the gap inconsistency, so we can see when node 1 receives the new state of the object, and when node 2 receives the new state of the object, and we see that it can be pretty at the same time. So we can consider that the gap inconsistency is almost null. Of course, this is an approximation, considering that the two messages there is the same network delay for the update messages. But it's in most of the case, it is true. It happens sometimes if you have one user in China and one really close to the server. He can hear in France, for example. The server is in France and you have one computer close to the server and the other is in China. Of course, you can have a difference here. So we see that the advantage of that, it's a strong consistency because it's almost new. And now I let you do the last one for the hybrid mode. So the hybrid mode is slightly similar. We still use the referent proxy paradigm. So, but here it's not a server, but one particular node who owns the referent. So we have there is one referent on one particular node, and the other node have just proxies of this thing. And then we have two cases. If the user do the modif
would do the modification on the referent, and if the user would do the modification on a proxy. So I let you try to figure out what's happened in both cases. Okay, so I think I'll give you the answer for the last one. So I start first with when the user modifies the referent. So here, of course, because it's the referent, the modification is done locally. And then the referent just send update messages to all to the two proxies. So this is the first case. I will compute later the interaction latency and the gap inconsistency. We'll just look the two case first. So So now if the user do the modification on a proxy, so it has to ask first the referent for the modification. So it send first a modification request. The modification is again processed on the referent, and the referent send a bit in the same way some update messages to the two proxies. So here, if we look first the interaction latency, so we have 2k. So did some of you find some value for interaction latency? So if we are in the first case, and if we interact with the referent, what is the interaction latency? It's nil. It's almost nil, just the processing time. And now if the user interact with the proxy,
it's too late.
Yeah, exactly. So here it's just the processing time, and here it's almost two times the latency. So we can say that in this case, almost null or two times the latency. It depends if we interact with the referent or if we interact with the proxy. And now for the gap inconsistency, I think there is two cases here, but they are slightly different. So if we look at the gap inconsistency between node 1 and node 3, we see that it's almost the same. But if we look at the gap inconsistency between the referent and the proxy, we see that here there is a new state of the object, and here we receive just here, so there is still a gap. So I can put that here. So here it's the gap inconsistency between the referent and proxies, and here it's the gap inconsistency between proxies. But usually there is just one referent and a lot of, not a lot, but I don't know, 10, it depends on the size, the number of users, but there is a lot more proxies and just one referent. So which means that it's not bad, because then we have I will put it here. So the gap inconsistency between the referent and the proxy is one time the latency, but between all the proxies the gap inconsistency is almost null. So in the, if we are in the more in the better case, here we can have an interaction latency which is almost null if we interact with the referent, and we can have a gap inconsistency between proxies that is almost null. So of course there is still a few drawbacks, because you can have still some gap in latency between referent and proxy, and also if you interact with a proxy, it can be pretty bad. So the idea of this data distribution is to say that the advantage is we have a good trade-off between responsiveness and consistency. So just two last slides about this adaptative data distribution, and then we can make a break. The first one is that the choice of the data distribution can be done at the object level, so which means that each object can have its own data distribution. The motivation for that is we have a different consistency and responsiveness requirement for each object, according to the function fulfilled by object. So I talk about the
the leaf of the tree moving, so we don't need a good consistency for that. But the virtual ray to show something to the other user, we need a good consistency for that. According to the precision also requires to manipulate object. So if we just want to move object quickly, maybe we don't need a really good responsiveness. But if we need to do some really precise manipulation in the 3D virtual environment, then we need a really good responsiveness. The solution, so it's to choose the distribution mode at the object level. And in this way, each node can independently have reference for some object and proxies from some other. So in the same computer, we can imagine that for one particular virtual object, I will have a reference, but for the other, I will just have proxies. And each object can have a particular, in this way, each object can have a particular data distribution. So I will just give you an example. I think I will show you again, I think I show you already this video. It's something we did. It's a collaborative manipulation between Rennes, so in France, and London. And I think I showed you this video last time. Or two users are moving together a cutting plane to do some cross-section on some seismic data. And here we have this particular different data distribution according to the function of the object. So the data itself, because it's huge, and it's huge data, were stored on a server. And so it was centralized data distribution for the data. And we need also to have something really consistent for the cutting plane, because it's required to do some fine adjustment. So the two users really want to see the same thing with this cutting plane. So the idea was to make this cutting plane also on the server to have a really good consistency between the two sides. And the last thing, I think we'll move it. It's the user hand. So I don't know if you remember. We have here the cubes that represent the hand of the user, and it's what the user see when they move the hand. And for that, we want to have good responsiveness, because I don't want to move my hand and see the cube follow with a delay. So for that, we put the cube as a referent proxy paradigm on the computer of the user who have its. For example, here for the green user, we put the referent of the green cube on the computer of this particular user. In this way, we have a good, he can have a good responsiveness when he moves his hand. And of course, then some delay can, because the hands are used to move this cutting plane, a few delay can arrive between the hand and the cutting plane, because the hands are processed locally and the cutting plane is processed on the server. But in the test, we show that it doesn't make a huge impact on the user interaction. As soon as he can have a feedback, when he moves his hand, you really see that something happened. Even if there is a few delay when he was moving the cutting plane, they were still able to manage. That's it. I don't remember exactly, but I think the network delay was around, I don't know, 100 milliseconds. So it's not a huge network delay too. So it was, I think most of the, well, I would say almost all the participants to the experiment didn't notice that there is some network latency, even if there is a few.
The model is stored on each of the two caves.
The what?
The model, the seismic data. Are they
the
server, or are they both sides?
The geometry were stored on both sides. But the computation of the position of the data and this thing were done on the server. Okay. So the physics. That was about the choice of the data distribution at object level. And the last thing is about the dynamic modification. So what? So the motivation to have this, to adapt the data distribution during the working session, was to adapt to the task that the user performed in the virtual environment. So if I don't interact with an object, we don't need to have a particular data distribution for it. But as soon as I grab this object, maybe we need to have a good responsiveness so we can move to a, to a referent proxy, maybe a data distribution that I can have the referent on my computer and have good responsiveness. But when I put back this object, maybe we don't need, we don't want that my computer has still to process this particular object because I will not grab it again. So we can maybe let it come back on the server. And so it's one motivation for adapt the data distribution, and it can also be to overcome some network trouble. So for example, if there is some breakdown in the connection, maybe we can bring back all the objects on the on the user computer to enable him still to interact with a good responsiveness. And when the network is good again, we can take advantage of that to do again the synchronization. And for example, if we have two users and they don't interact together during one part of the time, maybe if we have a few inconsistency between the state of the virtual environment, it's not bad because
the problem might be if you access the same object.
The same data. So it's what I was calling by not interacting together. So it's they interact with different objects, not at the same.
If they select.
But then.
The same object or the same.
Yeah, then it's the like they are in kind of interacting together. Yeah, it's not.
It's a conflict.
Then it's a conflict. So then you need to switch to the one of net data distributions that manage this consistency. Yeah, of course. So it depends on the task. But if they interact at one is at an extreme part of the virtual world, and one is to another extreme part of the virtual world, and they don't have any interaction, and even don't share any object, then you can maybe accept some desynchronization. But then when they meet again, for example, then you have to try to find a new way to synchronize everything. So the solution is to have a dynamic change of the data distribution mode. And it can be done by migrate the referent. So, which means by migrate the referent, which means that you have to send a message. It's not really complicated, in fact. It's just you have to send a message with all the up-to-date parameter of the object to another computer and saying, so now you are the referent of this object. Here is the parameter of the object. And now you are in charge of computing the behavior of this object. So we can move the referent from one node to another. So it's on the hybrid mode when we want to do the referent migration. We can put the referent on the server. So then we switch to the centralized mode. And we can also duplicate the referent on the node. So it means we switch to the replicated mode. So it's pretty like the migration. So we just say you are the referent of the object, here is a new parameter, but instead of saying that to only one computer, we say that to all the computer. Okay, so that's it for data distribution. We can make a small break and then I will talk about communication protocol. And if you have any question about data distribution, so of course you will have to implement this dynamic data distribution for your project. But I think you will have to think a bit about which data distribution might be better for your project, and what do you want? Do you want good consistency, good responsiveness? So you will have to think a bit about that. Yeah, I don't think you will implement this thing that you can change and everything, because it would be too complicated. But I think at least you will have to choose one and implement it. Okay, so. Can take 10 and 15 minutes.